Let's open up our Bibles. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm going to read in a bunch of random places, and hopefully we're going to trust the Lord to bring it all together. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And we'll read a verse out of there and a verse out of 29 and maybe a verse out of 30. And then we'll try to preach the message the Lord's laid in their heart. You find that place, Abel. Let's stand to your feet. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. And 2 Chronicles 28, you find that this is Ahaz is reigning and he's a wicked king. And the Bible says this about him. I might read several verses here just for the sake of context. So the Bible said in verse 22, said, "And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord." Said, "This is that King Ahaz." And the Bible said, "For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. He said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me." I want you to notice what it says next. It says, "But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel." Verse 29, or chapter 29, verse 1. Said, "Hezekiah began to reign." And the Bible said in verse number 3, "He in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he repaired them." Notice in chapter 30, we'll read several verses and then we'll pray for the Lord to help us. Verse 22, the Bible says, "And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord." Said they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Said the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. So in other words, they had a 7-day revival. And at the end of the 7-day revival, they said, "What do y'all want to do?" And they said, "Let's have another 7 days worth of it." Protracted meetings, what we'd call that. All right, y'all ain't with me, but we'll get there. Bible goes on to say, "They kept other 7 days with bitterness." It's not what that says, is it? With gladness. Said, "And Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep. Princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep. Great number of priests sanctified themselves. All the congregation of Judah with the priests and Levites, all the congregation that came out of Israel, strangers that came out of the land of Israel, they that dwelt in Judah rejoiced." Notice the last verse, verse 26. "So that there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. Hand of God, it's sure enough good to be in the house of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. I pray tonight, God, you'd help us. I thank you, God, for the good, sweet spirit. I'm glad it was good in the choir sing it. I thank you for the testimonies, the praying. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the special songs. And to God, how they've stirred our heart. But Father, for the next few moments of time, Lord, we need your help tonight. And to God, if you'll help us, it'll be good. Father, I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, that you'd help me to say everything that I ought to say, and to help me, Lord, not to say nothing that I ought not to. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd pull out of us, and God, just what you put in us. And to God, I pray, make it good. Father, I want to honor you, Lord. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. I ask you for help tonight one more time. In Christ's name we humbly beg and ask, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to know, listen, friend, primarily, it's of several things and passages, but I got to thinking about old King Ahaz. And the Bible said in his day that my friend, that he went down there. And now listen, I didn't plan this with Doug. Me and Doug didn't talk about what was going to happen. But what you have to understand is what old King Ahaz did in 2 Kings chapter 16. And so whenever he went over to Damascus, he had found that they had a prettier altar than the altar they had in the house of God. In other words, it was decorated real good. And just they liked the old Ahaz, he said, I like that altar better than I like the one that we got. And so when he came back to town, he had to make him one look just like that one. And the only problem was God never sanctioned an altar to look like that. And God didn't have no plan. Hey, listen, friend, thank God didn't. God never did make no plans for the altar to be pretty. And the altar never was meant to be pretty. It was brass. It's a place of judgment, friend. And thank God, look here. And you ought to thank God, friend, that what turned the judgment seat into the mercy seat, that was the blood of Christ. Amen. And so we find that in the inner place. Two different altars, of course. The one in the holy place made of gold. The one outside made of brass. But he made him a different one. And then you read this in the passage. Hey, you understand? Now you got to stay with me. And then we'll get to where we're going. But when they situated the tabernacle and when they situated the temple, that day faced toward the east. The door did rather. It faced toward the east. And when the sun would rise up, man, that thing would shine right on the door. And come right by the law. I mean, it's a pretty scene. But whenever they had that, and you came in right in the forefront, that was that brazen altar. And the first thing he did, oh, Ahaz, the Bible said, he took the altar out of the forefront and he stuck it over on the north side. In other words, thank God, he said, this thing ain't important no more. That's where we're at in the house of God today. And now listen to me, friend. I understand everybody, we ain't got room for everybody. And I understand there ain't no virtue in this wood. But there is something about praying right here. Amen. And now I don't, y'all do whatever you want to do with it. And thank God, all I know is I've seen a lot of battles won right there. Amen. And I thank God, I'm glad I can pray anywhere. I'm glad I can pray going down the road. I'm glad I can pray in my bed looking up at the ceiling. But there is something about the house of God. Hey, folks standing up together and praying in this place. And now everybody can't get to that place. And I'll say this to you. If time stands, there'll be a time that you won't be able to bow down at that place. And so while you got good strength in your body and while you're able to, you probably ought to thank God for the blessed privilege, amen, to bow down at the altar, amen. And now listen, friend. So Ahaz took out the altar and then he turned to another one. And that's what the Bible said about it. It said it ruined him and it ruined everybody else. If you start going into a church and they've taken out the altar, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to ruin the whole place, amen. Hey, listen, look here. If we leave the altar and the people in it stop using the altar, I'll tell you what'll happen. It'll ruin the whole place, amen. I know that's not the message because I'm happy tonight. But I want to say this to you. And they were miserable right here. And they were miserable folk. It ruined the house of God. It ruined Ahaz. It ruined the whole nation. But old Hezekiah got on board. And when Hezekiah got on board, I like the way it said it. He said that they hadn't been joy and rejoicing like that since the days of Solomon. I thought about this. Listen, that was about 225 years ago, Devin. If the Lord help me, I'd like to preach on this song. Oh, no, I ain't been this happy in forever. Amen. I ain't been this happy in forever, thank God. Hey, listen, I like coming to the house of God and folks being happy. Amen. Hey, something about thank God. Listen, I don't even understand sometimes when you come in the house of God and everybody's happy on the porch, but when the service starts, everybody starts frowning. That don't even make no sense to me, thank God. I tell you, when I get happy, it's when the Holy Ghost shows up. He starts helping me, thank God. That's when it's time to get happy. And I thought about this, friend. And you just listen. And you just stay tuned for a minute. And we'll try to preach, all right? I'm saying this, these folks there. And all they'd ever seen out of Israel is everybody was miserable. Everybody was sad. And nobody knew why. Everybody was miserable in their heart. As miserable in their mind. As miserable in their action. And nobody knew why. And they couldn't put their finger on it. They said, something's changed. That something ain't the way it used to be. And they couldn't hardly figure it out until old Hezekiah got on the throne and
by the time Hezekiah got done, they looked around, they said, oh, well, there's old brother Codger. He ain't smiled in 80 years, amen. All of a sudden, he's happy. And the Lord, thank God. I looked over there at sister, who's always had her nose up in the air, and she's happy too. And we find, listen, it says specifically that they ain't been that happy since the days of Solomon. That's whenever old Queen of Sheba showed up, John, and she said, happy are these thy servants. Happy are those men. And she said, I don't know what's going on around here. And she said, but everywhere I look, everybody's happy. And you know why it was? And because God was honored. And God was on the throne. Yes, man was on the throne. And the people of God were going after God. I thank God as long as everybody's going after God. And the whole host of them was happy. And the boys, they slowly went down this trail. And one after another going away from God. And they got more and more miserable. And they didn't know why until Hezekiah had got on the throne. And thank God in just a little while. And by the time he got done, and the whole town was happy. Homes were back happy. And Judah was back happy. And the church was back happy. I'm going to say this, thank God. I think now I'm just confessing here. And then I'll give you four little things out of this text try to help us tonight. But I still now said sometime. And now I know you wouldn't believe it. But every now and then, thank God, I ain't as happy as I seem like I am. And sometimes the weight of the world it just sort of gets on me. And I can't get it out of me. And most of the time, Brother Jones don't have no problem. I just go and I pray. And I give it to the Lord. And I just walk away from it. But this past week when he was on vacation, I told Allison Long about Tuesday. I said, honey, I'm starting to feel like myself again. I said, boy, I don't remember last time I was this happy. And then I just got to reading this. And I got happy all over again, thank God. And I thought, God in heaven, I'll tell you what's a good witness of a church. That's to walk in the house of God. And despite our circumstances, and despite what hell we're facing, and despite our physical needs, and despite what's in the bank, and when folks walk in this place, and they ought to be joy from one side of it all the way to the other. And when folks sing, and thank God they ought to sing with joy. And when they testify, and they ought to testify with joy. And some look here, thank God he just done it, and he didn't even mean to. And the other night when I was preaching, I looked back there and Davis nodded his head at me. And we're working on amens. But right now he's nodding his head. But even nodding his head, that makes me happy. That makes me happy, amen. I'm saying this, thank God. It was joy in that place. And boy, I got to praying. I said, Lord, I'd sure like for there to be joy like we can't never remember when, amen. I mean, now listen, there's been times and seasons in our lives, and no doubt that we've all had joy. But I'm talking about right now, thank God. Wouldn't it be something if we said, man, I can't remember the last time that I had this much joy in my life. I said, well, I got to figuring it up, and I can't remember when it ever happened before. And they said, when was the last time? I said, boy, they got talking to the older people. They said, we don't never remember when it was. And then they got to reading where it was written down at. And boy, they got to turn them back through the Chronicles. And they said, well, that looks like the last time there was that much joy in this town. That was about 225 years ago. Amen. I'd say this to you, dear friend. Listen, let me go on record and say, I got a random text from a random person this week. And I don't know who he is. And the prophet said his name, maybe somebody here would. But he just texted me out of the blue. I don't know, didn't have his number on my phone. I don't have no idea who he is. And he said, brother, I just want to encourage your heart. I was out talking with some folks the other day, and they was talking about there's a spirit of revival down at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He said, I hope to visit there sometime. I said, thank God, don't let it get out. Don't let it get out. Somebody try to ruin it, amen. No, I'm just kidding, praise God. Hey, listen, thank God. I'm saying this, friend. There's something about when there's joy in serving the Lord, amen. Oh, yes. Oh, listen, old Hezekiah sitting there. And I got to think about this. I just can't remember when the last time was that I was just this happy. Amen. I'll give you just a few things out of this scripture. Maybe 45 if I can. Amen. Brother Kim told me I can preach as long as I want to. Amen. Thank God, that makes me happy too. I'll give you just a few things out of this. And what happened, and thank God, if we're going to get to a place and where we're going to have more joy and where we ain't been this happy in forever, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 3, there's some things going to have to be repaired. And the Bible says here, it said in the first year of his reign, I'm glad Hezekiah didn't wait 10 years or 15 years before he decided how to get some joy in this thing. He said in the first year, and thank God, in the very first month, amen, his first executive order, that was, we're going to have to get the doors fixed back at the house of God, amen. He said, oh, Hezekiah, he said, I've been watching this wicked bunch. I said, ain't nobody got no joy nowhere I went. And he said, I about figured out what it is. He said, the problem is, ain't nobody going to the house of God, amen. Hey, listen to me, look at me. If you're right with God, thank God, coming to the house of God helps you, amen. That's right. Amen. Thank God. Look here. Come in the house of God. God gets to loving on us. He gets to helping us. Hey, your marriage ain't worse because you're in the house of God. It's better. Amen. Hey, your family ain't worse. They're better. Amen. I'm saying this. Thank God. He got to repairing some doors. And the Bible said first he opened it up and then he repaired it up. Amen. He said this door right here needs to be opened back. I'm going to go on record and say thank God. And the sweet psalmist of Israel said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And thank God the doors is open. I got to thinking about some doors that I'm glad are open in this. You know, every time, listen to me. I mean, I'm gonna try. I may not get there tonight. We may have a one-point message tonight. But I'm going to say this. Every time that door back there is opened up, that's a door of hope. One more time, amen. That's a time that one more time, preacher. One more time. As somebody walk in this place and they ain't got no hope and they don't know where they're going. And when it comes time to die, but every last time that door's open, every time that the lights is turned on, every time that the choir stands up, every time that a preacher stands, Brother Matt, he proclaims the word of God. It doesn't matter how it goes out. Every last time it happens, it's one more opportunity for hope for somebody. It's a time, thank God, that somebody that's on the outside, somebody that's down in the ditch, somebody that's in trouble in their life, every time the door's open, they can come in the house of God, and they say, this might be the time, and this might be the place, and they look around to the right, and they see somebody with joy, and they say, they used to be like I was, and they look and they see somebody else on the left side, and they say, I remember when they didn't have no joy either, and before it's said and done, they say, there's still hope, amen. Oh yeah, the door. Every time that door's open, that's a door of hope, amen. And you say, preacher, I got thinking about over there in Hosea chapter 2. That's one of my favorite passages. I mean, one of the greatest passages in the Bible on what grace looks like. And that lady that cheated on her husband had some illegitimate children. And the old Hosea's going out there feeding Gomer. And the Bible said, listen, I love this. And now this is no coincidence, Nathaniel. But it says here in this passage, in the chapter 30, and Hezekiah spoke comfortably to the Levites. And you know what it said about Hosea? About how God said he was going to speak to Gomer. It didn't say he was going to beat her down. I thank God said he'd speak comfortably to her. I thank God he would lure her out into the valley of Achor. That's a valley of trouble. He said that there might be a door of hope. Amen. And now listen, if there's hope for Gomer, there's hope for me and you. Amen. Hey, thank God, I'm glad. Look here. I'm glad I was asked one time about something like that. I want to go on record as saying this. I believe there's hope for anybody. Thank God that wants to go after God. Amen. I believe, look here, friend. I believe as long as they're trying to, as long as they're not at that place of reprobation, thank God, I believe there's hope. Amen. And I'll say this. I think it's much harder to get to that place of reprobation than what folks act like today. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you start to get to a place and you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, you're in danger there. Amen. But thank God, listen. I'm glad it's a door of hope, ain't you? And then I thought about this. I'm glad every time that door's open, that means I can get some help tonight. Amen. Now, I know you don't need no help, amen. I know, thank God. I mean, well, you know, most of us walk in here, and we got saved 45 years ago, and we ain't needed no help from nobody since that time. But for the rest of us, thank God, when we show up in the house of God, well, you'd be amazed at just how helpless we really are before God. But I tell you what's the great wonder of the whole thing, is that every time I come in the house of God, and whatever shape I come in here in, I'm glad I know. I look here. I say, Lord, I know you're just going to help me. I know you're going to. You say, preacher, why do you think that? He's done helped me too many times for him not to help me this time. I did right. I mean, it's a pretty, I'm trying to say this. I ain't been this happy in forever, amen. How you say how you get there? That way you open up the house of God, amen. I come in the house of God, and you don't sing no, and no dumb songs about precious memories. How you sing songs about glory to his name, amen. Thank God. How you sing songs like, I've never been sorry. And then before very long, thank God, how you think, well, I never have been sorry. And then you get happy about it, amen. And you ain't even mad that everybody had to stand up and sing together, amen. We just all sing with joy and say, thank God, we've never been sorry, amen. Yeah, it's a place of help. It's a place of hope. That's why they was happy. They opened up the one place you could get it. Couldn't get that down there, thank God. That old Hezekiah's phantom heart had to go to the house of God to get it, amen. I'll say this, thank God. Every time that door's opened up, that's a place that folks can come and find out about heaven, amen. Amen. You won't hear about heaven at the Cotton Eye Joe. Amen. Thank God. But every time that door's open, and listen to me, friend, every time that door's open and you walk in this church, there's a real good chance at some point in time and you're going to hear about John 3:7, and you're going to hear about you must be born again. And thank God Jesus said, I am the door, amen. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and he shall find pasture. But in our day, thank God, and the reason, Brother Doug, most folks is miserable, it's Revelation 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's on the outside of most places, and the doors have been shut, and the altar's been moved, and the worship's been changed, and everybody's trying to figure out how come nobody's got joy. And thank God we're going about it and the wrong way. Amen. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. I mean, I ain't been this happy in forever. Amen. Thank God, I'll tell you this. Have to be, some things have to be repaired. How happy, some things have to get right. Yeah, man. Watch your Bible. Watch your Bible. Verse 5. Here's what he said. He said unto me. He said unto them. He said, hear ye me, Levites. He said, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your God. I'll say this, thank God, the reason they got happy, and not only some things get repaired and that needed to be fixed, but thank God there's some things that need to get right, and they just got right, amen. He said, I'll tell you what y'all going to have to do. He said, before y'all go back in there, he said, we've had a bunch of low priests and made out of the lowest places and doing the lowest things. He said, but God never designed it that way. He said, if you're going to go in there and handle stuff, and before you get in that place, and you need to go sanctify yourself. And I don't know when sanctify have became a bad word, but the last time I checked, it's still right, amen. It's still right, thank God. I'll tell you the reason some folks ain't happy, thank God, listen, they ain't got no joy in their life, it's because they're saved and they refuse to get sanctified before God. And so they try to be saved and they try to cuddle up with the world. And don't get miserable right there, thank God. What I'm saying's right, and everybody knows it's right. Amen. Thank God. Have the happiest place in your life is when there's nothing between you and God, and there's nothing between you and your brother, and you can come in and worship him and worship with them. Amen. But when things ain't right here and things ain't right there, and they're not right here, and they'll show up right here. Amen. Oh, yes. He said, thank God. Listen, let me give you a few ways you get sanctified. I think it's only about three ways. You get sanctified by the blood, amen. Sanctified by the blood. He said, wherefore, he willing, to sanctify those who are without. He suffered without the gate. I wouldn't sanctify those by his own blood. He suffered without the gate. If you're going to get sanctified, you'll get sanctified by the blood. That word means set apart. It's not just to, look here, friend. It's not just to come out of something or come away from something. It's to come unto something. It's not enough just to come out of the world. I thank God, listen, I mean, there's Mennonites do that. There's Amish do that. That don't do it. You can't just come out of the world. You've got to come unto Christ. Amen. Amen. So listen, you get sanctified by the blood. Get sanctified by the book. Watch, yes, that he might sanctify, Ephesians 5:20, he might sanctify it with the washing of the water. Hey, thank God, by the word. I'm telling you, dear friend, you know how you get sanctified? As you read that Bible, and that Bible reads you, and that Bible gets to saying, this ain't right, and this ain't right, and you need to do better here, and you need to do better here. And the reason some folks ain't never got sanctified is they ain't never read the scripture, amen. But I'm talking about, if you want to get happier than you've ever been, have more joy than you've ever had. I mean, say, preacher, I want to be happier than the last time I remember when. I'm telling you how to do it. I get sanctified before God. Amen. Amen. Sanctified by the blood. Sanctified by the book. You get sanctified by the being. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He said, in such words some of you, verse 11, I think it is. He said, such words some of you, but you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified. Ain't that what he said? Amen. That's right. He said, by the word of the Lord. And he said, and by the Spirit of our God. And now listen, I'll tell you how you don't get sanctified. I didn't find not one verse in this Bible where you get sanctified by the Baptist. We try to sanctify everybody else. Help me right there. That's, look here, that's why they're miserable and that's why you're miserable. Amen. 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 That's right, ain't it, Pat? Yes, going around, thank God. All you got your measuring stick.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You say you ain't sanctified by my measuring stick. Now I'm walking out of here and I'm mad at you, and I'm mad because you're you. And then we walk out of the house of God. As a feller said, we was talking, I better move on. I'm happier than I've ever been. There's a feller talking, we was talking the other day, and he said, preacher, he said, how long can your hair be? You know what we're trying to figure out when we say that, don't you?
Yep.
Trying to figure out how close the line we can get, still be right with God.
Amen.
Bible says, shame for man to have long hair. Amen. But I'm going to say this. Look here, Ty's hair's a little longer than mine. Mine's a little longer than Kevin's. Which one's the standard? His is a little longer than yours. Amen. What's the standard? What's standard? Hey, look here. Any one of them more right than the other one? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks got an awful lot of rules. They apply to everybody else except for their own self. I don't look here. The Baptists never have sanctified men. I'm going to go a step further than that. If you do get sanctified because of what I say, you're going to walk out of here miserable living under a rule.
Yes, sir.
But if you'll let that Bible do it.
Yes, sir.
Let that being on the inside. They ain't not, look here, I've heard Creston Burke say many times, say walk in the house of God, somebody preach to him, Holy Ghost said, time to go cut your hair. Who did that? Well, he ain't been mad about it. He ain't bitter about it. Must have been God.
Amen.
Not the Baptist.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm happier than I ever been. You happy tonight? Some things are going to have to get right. Can't be, look here, God has a framework. And if you want to be happy, he wants you to be inside that framework. Step outside that framework, be the ruin of you and of all of Israel.
Right.
Step inside the framework, joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
Amen. God intends for our marriages to be happy, don't he?
Yeah.
If you're in this church and I've counseled you and I've married you, I'll promise you I've said the same thing to every last person. Just because you've been married for 50 years don't mean you've been happy for 50 of them. But what we desire is that when we walk out of this place that we've got folks that they say, man, I didn't know I could be this happy in my marriage. Look at me. Marriage ain't supposed to be miserable. Well, I feel like shouting on that one right there. Hallelujah. It's supposed to be joyous. So is church. So is children. Don't get nervous. So is your job. Praise God. You'll be amazed how much joy you can have when things are right between you and God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some things going to have to be repaired. Some things going to have to get right. Some things going to have to get removed.
Yep.
If you're going to be happy.
Amen.
I'm talking about happier. You ain't been this happy in forever.
Amen.
Hey, some people I'm preaching to, they say, preacher, I ain't been this sad in forever. So I ain't been this miserable in forever.
Yeah.
I'm miserable. That's a poor witness. I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Try to help you, thank God. Watch what he says here. Watch your Bibles. Verse number 5. I might read another verse. Amen. Verse number 5. Here's what he said. He said, carry forth, the last part of it. He said, carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place.
Yeah.
What's in verse number 16? Verse 16 said, priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. They brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord under the court of the house of the Lord. Levites took it, carried it out abroad to the brook Kidron. This is what they said. They said, if we're going to go in there and do these things right, no, we're going to have to repair some things. No, we're going to have to restore some things. He said, hey, we're going to have to get some things out. We're going to have to remove it.
Yeah.
Said, go in there, get all that junk that Ahaz brought in there from somewhere else, get it out of the house of God, take it down to the brook, and let the brook carry it away. Amen. We don't need what Damascus has in here. Hallelujah. Listen, had to get that altar. They said, man, that's a pretty altar. Hezekiah said, get that junk out of here.
Yeah.
Don't care how pretty it is. Out.
Right.
They went back in there and they said there's two things, filthiness and uncleanness.
Yeah.
Preach, I studied about that. You know what the difference between the two is? Filthiness is what's on the outside. Uncleanness is what's on the inside. We come in the house of God. Now, I'm talking about if you want to be happier than you've been in forever.
Come on, brother.
1 Corinthians chapter number 7, you can read it there. Talks about essentially the same thing. Verse number 1 talks about things on the outside, things on the inside. See, it's not those things that's on the outside that's killing us. By and large, probably ain't nobody in here got drunk this week.
Right.
I hope.
Right?
I mean, maybe. Maybe there's somebody in here has. Holy Ghost, listen, if you're God's, he'll get you for that nonsense.
Amen.
Probably by and large, nobody in here doing that. Probably by and large, nobody in here committing adultery.
Right.
See, all those things that's on the outside that everybody sees, probably nobody in here smoking dope when they leave here.
Right.
That's right.
All that, all the filthiness. We say, no, preacher, we ain't filthy, but are we unclean? I'll tell you this, Hannah, you ain't never seen your preacher smoking a cigarette. Never seen your preacher with a bottle of liquor in his hand.
Right.
Never seen your preacher scratching off a lottery ticket.
Right.
But what you can't see is there's been times your preacher's had jealousy in his heart. And there's been envy there. And there's been times there's been bitterness. And there's been wrath. I don't have no problem with the filthiness, Jordan. But that uncleanness that nobody else sees.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I can.
100% right.
I can keep that thing right here.
Yeah.
And Amanda, I can smile at you. And the whole time I'm smiling at you, there can be jealousy right here in my heart. God help us. Don't nobody throw nothing. I'm talking about being happier than we ever been. I'm sure nobody in here has ever been guilty of covetousness.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you can't see that sin. But that's all those unclean things on our heart. That's the killer of our contentment in Christ. But boy, if we could just, we just had a place. If God just made a place where we could come and say, God, I don't just want to get rid of the filthiness that's on the outside, but I want to get rid of the uncleanness. And I know I'm going to have to get some things out. We was running well right then. Right then it just, boy, it just got a little too real, didn't it? Got a little too close to home. I'm going to tell you this. You can't look at things on the internet that nobody else sees and then think, man, I'm gonna come in here and I'm going to shout her down and I'm going to have joy in the Lord. And then whenever I get out there and I get around the world, I'm going to talk like the world. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's why you can't be happy in either place. But I want to be, I want to be happier than I've been in forever. I don't want to be, I am. I'm talking about, for me, right now, in this place, happier than I've been in forever. Not happier than I'll be forever. Woo! Hold on to your hats, neighbor. I'm going to get happier than I am here. Let me give you this last thing. I'm going to be done. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch what the Bible says. Verse 1. I don't want to kill the whole thing on this, but I'm going to try to say what I need to say. All right. Watch your Bible here, and if I can read mine, we'll both get there. Here's what the Bible, whenever the Lord begins to talk about everything, there's some things that has to be repaired. There's some things that's going to have to be removed. There's some things that they're just going to have to get right. And then there's some things, and they're going to have to get restored. Right over there, chapter number 30. Here's what the Bible says. He said, all they came, Bible says that they brought their offerings and their thanksgiving. Let me say it to you like this. Let me say that there's some things we're going to have to bring back in once we get some of those things out. Hezekiah got up and he went up to the house of God and he brought everybody else up. He got all the singers and all the singers started singing. The Bible says they started singing loud. I like that. I like loud singing. I don't like whispering singing. That's a personal preference. I like loud singing. I like open her up and let her fly. Amen. I want you, everybody stay with me right here. Number one, when we come in here, there's going to have to be some giving of ourselves. You say, you know why some folks ain't happy? They ain't never really give themselves over to the Lord. When you reinstate those offerings, it's the giving. I'm not talking about you giving your money. I mean, that's part of it. But they some folks, that's right. But hey, some folks, they don't care to write a check. But they ain't never give of their self to this thing. There's going to have to be some giving. Second thing he's talked about was the thanks offerings. There's going to have to be some gratefulness. You know, come in the house of God. I'll tell you this. Look, listen, I'm talking about getting happier than you've been since forever. You come in this place, you give of yourself to the Lord, and then you start giving thanks back to Him. Just try it. I challenge you. Just try to start thanking God and not get happy. Just start. Just start somewhere and see if God don't do it. And then I want to tell you this. Now, this is the one that sort of cut me a little bit. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We're going to have to get back in the house of God. We're going to have grace for folks that ain't there yet. Now, I can't see my Bible, so I'll give you the references later. But I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to tell you what happens. Boy, they get caught up in this feast and this Passover. Nathaniel, everybody's so happy that there's some people that come in that they've got their heart right, but other things ain't right yet in their life. And they partake in the Passover and they get sick. And you know what Hezekiah does?
He doesn't say, y'all ain't got no business partaking in that. Everybody knows your heart ain't right with God. That ain't what he does. Mm-mm. You know what it says he does? It said Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord for them.
What about that?
Here's what Hezekiah said. He said, God, their heart's in the right place. Now what they're doing is not right. But their heart is trying to serve you. And you know what the Bible says? It's the craziest thing in the world. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said the Lord heard him, hearkened to him, and healed him. Now, if that happened in an independent Baptist church, what would happen is we say, they ain't got no business doing it. And then everybody talks about them. Amen, Brother Kevin, that's still right. Preaching it good now. And we'd say, I wonder when the preacher's going to do something about that. I wonder how long before he's going to say something about them. And you know what the Bible teaches us we really ought to do? Ought to go get, if you listen to me, y'all listening real good, we ought to have enough grace with everybody that comes in here. If they do something that ain't right with God, you'll just go get on your face. If you really care. If you really care. And I'm talking about getting happier than you've been in forever. Because you can sit in your seat and be critical of everybody. And you'll walk in here miserable and you'll walk out miserable. You'll compare yourself to everybody else and nobody will ever compare to you. Until we start comparing you to God. So what happens is this. You ain't arrived and you ain't always been what you are now. So when you see somebody mess up, just do what Hezekiah just went up and got on his face before God and he said, God, please don't hurt them. They're trying. And the Lord said, I like that prayer. He said, if you've got grace with them, I've got grace with them too. And you know what happened before? I'm done preaching. You know what happened at the end of the thing? Everybody got so happy, they said, won't we just have a week's meeting? I said, man, I ain't felt this happy in forever. Let's just do this for about 7 nights. And they got up there and everybody got to singing. Look here. If the Lord meets with us for 2 nights, and that's this ain't even about revival. I'm just preaching. But after about 7 nights, they looked around, and you know what? It was Saturday night, and everybody didn't even go to Walmart. It was Friday night, and everybody wasn't at the ball. They're just happier than they'd been in forever. I couldn't imagine going anywhere else. I said, man, this is so good. I said, can we do it for another 7? I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. But I want you to understand this. You know what happened when all this happened in the house of God and everybody got happier than they'd been forever? You go read it. Y'all go read it. It's in one of them 3 chapters. It won't take you long. First thing they did is they went to Jerusalem and they cut down all the groves and all the high places and all the idols and they took them down to the brook too. They said, you know what? We're happy in here, but when we go out there, we ain't happy. I said, you know what we can do about that? Let's get rid of the same junk out there that we got rid of in here. Maybe, just maybe, when we go home, we'll have to go in some of our rooms. And then you know what they did beyond that? This is even better. Listen, they got it out of the church. They got it out of the city. And then Hezekiah said, won't we just get out of the whole country? Let's just get out of Judah. And they said, hey, we like it. Let's get the whole thing out. And they started cutting down all the high places. And if you'll go read, they didn't have a revival like that before that since 215 years ago. And I start thinking about that. Our country, 1776, we're due for a real good God. Just wouldn't you like it to start right here? I'll tell you what happened. We'll have to get happier than we've been in forever. I've cleared my heart. Stand your feet. I'm asking this question simply right now. Are you happier than you've been in forever? I mean, got more joy right now than you've had in forever? Boy, you can have it. You can have it.